If you don't know who Howard Teich is, solarlunar.com is his website. He wrote a book. We've been talking about his book. We went to the workshop together. He's been here several times if you looked at my post in the website. But if not, Dr. Howard Teich has been a practicing psychologist for over 40 years analyzing people. Poor guy. That is a hard job, man, getting in people's head. God bless you. And he's here today. And I have a lot of questions for him. Hi, hello, Howard. How are you? How's it going?
You know, I think the way you start off your show about lost in transition is the hardest thing that people will admit, that they are lost and they want to be found. And that I loved what you said about from the song, Open Up Your Heart, what you see. Because the heart is the transition point, and the heart is made out of, and love and life come from the heart, and love is light. And there's two kinds of elements that make up the matter in the universe. One is light and one is matter. And light is the same as love, because light is on a quantum level. It's photons that join in the same quantum space, where matter is made out of electrons that are dissonant and opposites. So when one is into their heart and into love, they're into light. And the energy of light is what most of us are looking for when we're lost in transition, is how to find the light in the darkness.
How do we find it?
By, as you said, by looking. One of the ways to look is, you mentioned dreams, which is one of my favorite topics, and that most people, as you did when you described dreams, you said, my dream is crazy. Well, that's the first thing that the conscious mind thinks, because it doesn't understand something, so it calls it crazy. And what it doesn't understand is the symbols of the unconscious mind, mm-hmm. which is where the light is.
Okay.
So the first thing to do is to surrender the belief that it's crazy and be willing to listen to the dream talk to you.
No, I mean, sorry to be judgmental about
please.
It. I didn't mean crazy like a good thing. I mean, yeah, I think craziness is good.
But crazy stops people usually from surrendering to what it is that, quote, they think is crazy, whether it's good or not so good.
Okay.
So it's really the surrendering of the ego, conscious mind, that there really is another world that's actually 98% of us that has all this information that is looking to come forth to the surface if we make room for it.
I agree completely. When I said crazy, let me rephrase this. I meant, you know, me and the dream riding a German Shepherd, having a saddle on the German Shepherd and flying with the German Shepherd like he was a unicorn. It was funny. I call crazy something that possible. It's not possible in the real physical plane. Do you go to the bathroom, you stand up and you start playing with your iPhone and you leave your pants down and you keep walking in
Shepherd here in your studio.
That is true, probably.
And so to me, it's a mirror of an energetic part of you that wants you to join in the journey.
Okay, that's a nice way of saying it. Thank you. Now, let me go with my first question, Howard. Like that I align a lot of things that I'm sure people are curious about, too, because I'm just talking for the audience. Please, to all of us, can you explain what dreams are and why do we dream? What are dreams?
There's a zillion theories about dreams. It's even thought that animals have this layer that goes on where they're processing information.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of theories about what it is that dreams are about. From my perspective, dreams represent the architecture of what the conscious mind needs to have as an addition to expand. And so the conscious mind only can do so much during the day. So what it is that offers the next gift is the dream. And I dream, I mean, I had all
Why
kinds
Why do you
of,
call it a gift?
Because it's energy in the form of symbols and images, and the really deeper part of the mind, the emotional mind, is made of symbols and images. And the ego mind, if it can access the energy of the symbols and the images and it join in, like you did joyfully a moment ago when I suggested that you are the German Shepherd with wings riding in here, that brings a whole different doorway of energy up in you in the moment that would maybe not have been there in the same way. So when one can align themselves with their dreams, one can be liberated quicker to where they're headed, because dreams are the code of the mysteries of life.
I agree. Now, when you say align with your dreams, what does that mean? Because Because so far as I know, I tried a lot, and I read a lot. Alejandro Jodorowsky, one of these great authors that studies dreams, he explained that, you know, it would be great that if we can control our dreams. We'll talk about that further on, because I have many questions about that. But when you mean aligning with your dreams, that means you understand, comprehend, or control your dreams? Or what does that mean?
It's the opposite of control.
Oh, okay.
It's letting go of the fact that you have a fantasy you're in control, and be willing to listen to the dream talk to you in energy, instinct, and images, and be open to include those because they're not rational.
But, I mean, you can't even control them, because when you dream, it's like there's so much information there that you're not even understanding where is it coming from and where is it going.
So ask the question about control again.
Because you said it's not about controlling, it's about letting go. But when you're dreaming, there's no other choice than letting go, because you don't really understand
exactly
what's happening.
But when you're awake, it's the integration into your conscious life of the nighttime material.
Okay.
That is what one can include, expand. It's an expansion process.
So basically, it's like a database of a lot of information hidden with codes and symbols that are trying to say us something that we're not seeing in our conscious.
Very well put.
Reality.
As well as we could.
As well as we could. What does that mean? I don't understand.
Well,
for example,
like your dream, when you first told it, you didn't say that the German Shepherd had wings.
It didn't have wings. It just flew.
It just flew.
Yeah.
Well, that flying spirit, for example, there's seven different kind of systems that dreams operate in. And one of them are flying systems.
Mm-hmm.
They're a system to get above the earth, to get above what you're aware of. So something in the dream is asking you to have a higher perspective, a 50,000 point view of something going on. So there's a few processes that you can learn that can help you get a little bit of information. One can't be greedy with dreams and think you're going to get it all. If you get a little gift of energy,
right,
some insight, you're going to be different than you were before.
Okay, good. Now, why do we dream?
It seems to be a biological reality of mammals, maybe of reptiles. Process information, I think, is the best way. We're information processing machines taking in zillions of bits of data, much more than we can ever consciously be aware of as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's environmental information that's sitting in the system that's working itself out at night. There's a different chemistry that goes on in dreaming than there is in the daytime life. And it's one of the great mysteries there is in life. And any little bit to understand the mystery is an exciting expansion.
It is. It is. It is absolutely. I always think about that. There's the movie The Matrix. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
That they, you know, they go inside this topic, and it's so interesting, because
right,
I'm always like, what do we do when we dream? Do we get out? Is there a possible chance that we get out of our bodies?
Well, we are out of our bodies in our nighttime life in our dreams.
We are. Like our soul takes off, or what the heck?
It's the soul's journey. Dreams are the wisdom of the soul, talking to ourselves, helping us to expand our knowledge of our non-materialistic self.
So where does the soul go?
Where does the soul go?
Yeah.
It goes into the multiple other universes and gathers information. For example, I'm very interested in shamanism.
In?
Shamanism.
Shamanism. Me too. I love it.
Well, shamanism, there's usually shamans travel to other worlds,
mm-hmm,
to get information so they can bring back to heal the person and themselves,
because
the shamans
I read
are healers, and dreams are the same thing.
Did you read Carlos Castaneda?
Uh-huh, sure.
Okay, because he speaks a lot about that and tells of all the information that they...
Dreams essentially are coming from other worlds,
mm-hmm,
to help us have a fuller life in this world.
Oh, nice how you say it. Okay, interpretations of... okay, this is my thought, all right? I can totally be wrong, but this is what I personally think. Interpretations of a dream can be infinite. I never understood how therapists could analyze dreams and come up with a conclusion, meaning the mind is so complicated itself already, and on the top of it, it interprets certain information and stores it in dreams. How can we possibly know the exact meaning of it? Saying that you're a therapist and you're analyzing people's dream, how do you know that the statement that you're going to pull out,
mm-hmm,
it's going to really help that person, and what you say is the truth?
You don't. In fact, I don't even try to analyze dreams. That's kind of a myth. What I try to do is reflect on them with the person and hopefully have some resonance to something that I pick up in the dream that resonates with the person I'm talking to, and mirroring back their metaphors and a little bit that I know about how the processes of the unconscious mind works. So I don't try to analyze. There's many interpretations of dreams, mm-hmm. and there's no right and wrong. If it helps, then it's a gift. And there's endless material in dreams. So that the attitude that you're going to be analyze something, to me, is a place not to start from. To me, it's about opening up the doors for communication and activation of energy and symbols. Because the brain is a symbolic instrument. Words are descriptions of unconscious pictures. And so the dreams are the pictures without the words.
I agree completely
and
now.
And so when you come and bring a dream forward, mm-hmm. you're adding in the wholeness of your conscious life, which is based on words. And so you have your conscious life and you have your treasure chest of symbols. And the two together make the greatest jewelry there is in life.
So how do you, give me an example, how do you help a person in your office, in your clinic, whatever, when he tells you what he was dreaming?
Let's take your dream.
Okay.
What's your association of German Shepherds?
Oh, I love German Shepherds.
And
I love them, absolutely. It's my favorite dog, and, you know.
So there's some favorite energy mm-hmm. that you're riding and flying with. And where does it go? Does it go anyplace in the dream, or it's just a statement? Is there any more to the dream? Because oftentimes there's little bits and pieces. Most people discount a dream. They don't really think it's worth saying.
No. There is. I'll tell you right now because I'm remembering because this was like 3 weeks ago. I take off in my German Shepherd flying, and I feel bad about him because I'm too heavy for a dog, and I'm so considerate with animals. But I'm like, this dog is taking me, you know, we're flying around. I'm having a blast, but I'm just so considerate of the poor animal, you know, carrying me around because I'm like 58 kilograms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm remembering being concerned. I mean, while I'm riding, having fun, concerned about the animal carrying my weight.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing I look at in a dream is the emotions.
Oh, okay.
So feeling bad about something that you're enjoying out of some ego concern. Has the animal told you you're too heavy?
No.
It's the ego mind that makes these judgments that decide something. And usually we're run by our emotions. So there's going to be some part of you that's going to, quote, feel bad, hold yourself down. Where if the animal in the dream is saying you're too heavy, that's a different story from the unconscious. But the conscious mind, to expand, needs to learn to listen to what the dream says and not interpret it from its conscious mind space. That's one of the things most of us do, is we take our conscious mind and we interpret the unconscious, where really it's the other way around. The unconscious, if anything, our conscious life is an interpretation of the unconscious. So if any place that, quote, you might feel bad that you're having too good of a time or you're too heavy, those are the places that I would look for to be liberated in those moments. So you go by your emotions. I'd look, when you, quote, feel too bad or you're feeling like too heavy, I'd ask yourself at that moment, what is it that I can liberate myself for right now? So dreams are very pragmatic if you use them in the moment. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so it's about interpreting emotions then.
That's a big part of emotions and images.
Wow.
Yeah, because the dreams come from the emotional world. Dreams actually, dreams are images. In the center of the image is the emotion. So you get the emotion
right.
and the image. You get the base material cleaner than it can be without the ego deciding what it is, unless you start interpreting it from the ego place. So the integrity of the unconscious is what it is to ride and let go of the ego's, in this case, value judgments.
Wow. How intense.
And then to let that guide you in your guidance system.
Okay. I have another question before. I want to go to the break because it's 11:30. I have an important question to ask you, but I'd rather go to the break first, like that, you know, it doesn't get all messed up in the middle of something that I dreamt before coming to the U.S. And I want to see,
okay.
You know, I have a lot of questions, but that one is a very important one because something happened that I dreamt before. It was like crazy, and then it occurred.
Telepathy. Dreams are usually ahead of time and space.
Good. I wanted to know this. Ladies and gentlemen, Lost in Transition with Howard Teich and TRadioV.com. Our 800 number is 877-699. 4662. You can see the numbers in the in the screen. I was going to say in the scream. You can like us on Facebook.com/TRadio.
My life is a screaming dream.
I talk so fast that I go ahead my thoughts, so I don't even know what I'm saying. I shall return. Please stay tuned. Damn, Howard, I just would take you to my house and you could just sit there and talk to me because I love all your knowledge and all the things that you know. It's just unbelievable. Let's go back to the dream because something really, I can't speak English today. I don't know what's wrong with me. Relevante, I want to say something really relevant happened to me in Argentina 2 years ago. So my question is, can dreams reveal you the future or warn you about something that is going to happen? What are dreams for specifically?
Well, dreams do usually show you what you don't already know.
What you don't already know.
Consciously.
Consciously.
Because
okay.
The unconscious runs it. The unconscious is 98% of the information processing. The conscious mind has about 2%. When you're willing to admit there's something that's invisible in the unconscious, you have a dynamic duo with the conscious and the unconscious. Most people don't want to acknowledge that there's something that they're not controlling. And so they think everything is conscious. But the unconscious has been there since the beginning of the beginning. It is the creation principle, and it is consciously programming evolution. And we are, if we can join our evolution, we get there quicker.
How do you join your evolution? I mean, you say like if it was something so simple.
Well, you did, didn't you? You had a dream of a bridge. You didn't really know what the bridge was, but some part of you was in transition.
Okay, wait, let me pause and let me rephrase. I had a couple of dreams before coming to the U.S., one of them, I'm pregnant of 9 months or 4 months or five. I see my stomach like popping out. I'm not with anybody, nor did I sleep with anybody in my dream. And I am talking to my sister in my dream, very upset and sad. And I'm like, I'm pregnant and I haven't even been with somebody. And she's like, Cecilia, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. This is going to be something new and exciting for you. I'm like, no, I don't want to be pregnant. I don't know why I have this baby inside of me.
Usually babies in dreams represent the divine child that's ready to be born.
Oh, how exciting. I didn't know this.
Your sister was your wisdom figure holding the space for the anxious part of you that doesn't want something to happen that's happening. And you didn't really have a choice. Because the baby was going to be born, and it got born here, and we're all the beneficiaries.
Okay, so my sister, I called her. As soon as I wake up, totally panicking, like, Eugenia, I was pregnant in my dream. What does that mean? This sucks. She's like, Cecilia, you're about to labor a new project.
Right.
You're about to change your life.
Yeah.
After that, consequently, I dreamt that I was driving in the U.S., and it felt so real that I was living here, that I was interacting with people in English. And I'm like, what is this? This is a dream, but it felt like so real. And after 1 year, here I am.
Well, you caught up with your dream. You didn't resist it. A lot of people resist their dreams and kind of throw them away and don't count them for very much. You lived your dream and you didn't get in the way of the dream manifesting the physical reality that goes along with you that was in that transition.
So how could it be possible, Howard, that dreams are telling us things that are going to happen? Because I had clear images.
Well, you know, there's a principle called action in a distance that in quantum physics is one of the more remarkable things. They've discovered that when a photon is, it also hits, there's another part of a photon that's way beyond the speed of light that gets mirrored at the same moment. There are so many things that nobody knows. You go into the technical details. I'm not a scientist, but I'm interested in the fact that these are the images of the unconscious telling us what we can learn now at this point in history to help us not be unconscious and continue with the same shadowy mistakes that we've made by being unconscious before. So dreams to me are the oracle. That's how ancient cultures, they had dream temples in Greece. Before you made any big move, you would go to, quote, a doctor, and they'd have these healing centers. The first thing they'd do is they put you in a dream incubation center, and they wouldn't actually heal you and do anything until you had a dream. And then they'd interpret the dream, and then they would guide your healing from the dream. So it's only us who's kind of discounted dreams in the modern culture by the ego inflation and the cognitive awareness, and we don't understand something, so we don't count it. But we're like the last kids on the block to really wake to what has already been in our DNA, has been a huge resource for guidance in every other pre-Judeo-Christian culture. And you can see dreams in the Bible. You can see dreams as being significant. We just don't really count them very much other than just something you do at night that gets in your way. So they've been oracles.
Yeah, I agree completely
and you're,
with you.
You're a good example of not needing to go to a dream temple, but having the courage to let your dreams guide you and follow where it takes you. And you shared a dream a bit ago. I'm not sure if you shared it on air, about being on a bridge in the dream and then discovering it was the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Now, a bridge is a symbol of transition. And you were going to go in transition. Your dream happened to be ahead of time and space, or action at a distance, and knew where your unconscious knows where you're headed if your ego will join it more and more. And you do seem to do a pretty good job of not resisting
the way the unconscious talks.
Yeah. So no wonder you dream a lot. No wonder you have passions. I don't dream a lot right now because I study dreams. I study this material 24/7. So right now I don't dream. I've had important dreams in my life. I'm sure I will again. So one can't judge whether they have dreams or not. But if you're a person who has a through line between the conscious and the unconscious, and you're living it through energy and music, which is what the unconscious is, it's energy. It's invisible energy. And most of life is invisible. Yeah. It's the fantasy that it's not, that we over-concretize matter and don't really see the dance between the invisible and the visible as being one. And you're a person that does, and that's why you're here, and that's why we all get to enjoy you.
But listen, Howard, I do have flaws, and I do have sad moments, and
so.
I do have, sometimes I just don't understand what am I doing in this world. This planet is a crazy, insane planet, and my ego wants to interfere. Well, my ego gets there and just pushes, and,
One of the real deep truths that is that I've been if you're studying dreams, you want to study Carl Jung's work. C.G. Jung.
Jung
realized that there's a personal dreams and there's collective dreams. And he discovered that the history of the architecture of the psyche was in the mysticism of alchemy. I won't really go into it because it's a tricky topic. But in alchemy, what the individual, you as an alchemist.
What is alchemy?
Alchemy is transformation, lost in transition.
Okay.
Your show is an alchemical show. Your whole theme is how do you make a transition? Well, alchemy is how they've done it through the beginning of time, carried in stories.
Okay.
I'm not going to go off, but the main thing that one had to do is find what's called the prima materia, the first matter of change.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people don't realize is our shadows that we have to admit of what needs to be changed. And most people do anything to avoid the shadow and admitting it. And it's actually so us having these shadows, if our attitude is it that we admit it and acknowledge that is a part of us rather than deny it or project it, we're going to be in the prima materia of transformation. A transformation doesn't happen until there's pain and change at really deep levels. And most people don't want the pain. I love it and hate it. I've been around enough of it, but know that unless there's legitimate suffering, there's neurotic suffering and legitimate suffering. Legitimate suffering is to admit what your greed, your power trips are, whatever that might be, and do something about them. Neurotic suffering is to kind of vaguely know I'm on a power trip. I think it's not a very big deal. I'll just keep it up. And so when one will admit what their shadow is, that's when change happens. And change doesn't really happen. It's amazing. People will never, all the years I've been a therapist, nobody's come in that hasn't been in torturous pain.
I know.
And waiting, and people, unless they're in pain, don't really change. And now, that doesn't have to be. I've worked with people where they get out of the pain and they get into the change and are willing to admit their shadow as the food of the gifts of transformation. Lost in transition, to be found is to admit your shadow. To find the prima materia, admit it. If you don't know what it is, ask your lover, ask your date, ask your mother or father.
No, don't even ask. Just observe your life and go deep, 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 and just
if you're willing to.
If you're willing to.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that if you're not willing to, relationships are just going to come and go in your life, and you're not never going to discover any. That's why I think it's such a personal, it's a long journey, and it's only with yourself, actually,
basically,
in this life.
Basically yourself as the center organizing principle to relate to others.
Yeah, yeah, it's not much more than that. Now, let me ask you this. Can we humans, well, you said that you don't, can we humans learn how to control and manipulate our dreams?
Well, there are dream yoga studies. There are people that do that go into their dreams and work inside their dreams. And it's a very fascinating field. There's a lot of stuff done at Stanford in the Bay Area, of course.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are interested, there's all kinds of books on dream yoga. That's only one, it's a small part of it. If somebody tries to control their dream without knowing the techniques, they're likely to find themselves alienated rather than engaged. So, yeah, there are techniques to do it. It's a great study. I'd encourage anybody to do anything one can that interests them on dreams. Follow the trail. If it's into dream yoga, then go for it. There's an incredible amount of resources. In the Bay Area is like the greatest of the greatest,
the greatest.
These kinds of resources.
Before, well, the next questions I have are all related to the material that you sent me. That was enormously interesting. I was reading and I was like, I have so many questions. But before we go to the break, I want to ask you this. Me, I read so much all the time and I'm so curious about everything that I learned in a book. I don't even remember if it was Carlos Castaneda, you know, I don't even remember what it was. But I learned the process of breathing, and when you fall asleep and you're about to fall asleep, I did a couple of exercises. This was last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before I would fall asleep, I would try to be conscious to enter in my dream conscious.
Right, right. That's a beautiful technique.
Okay, Howard, I did it, and I was freaking out.
Why? Because you got there?
You know why I freaked out? Because I felt when I was falling asleep and I was jumping inside of my dream, I felt my soul getting out of my body, and I would see and I would feel the piece of flesh, how heavy and how, you know, useless we really were. And when I saw that detachment and the soul, how light and vivid, it freaked me out because I didn't know what to do with it. I had this power in my hands when I was dreaming that I didn't know what to do because I felt that I was getting out of my body and I could get inside of my dreams. At the same time, my body was like abandoned there. It really freaked me out because I didn't know the technique.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said something very important. If you ask the unconscious to help you, it will.
That's the thing.
Has to learn what the material is asking you to learn so you can integrate it. So it's a learning process. And you got the information of what you're invited to learn.
I just didn't know what to do with it.
Well, that's the start. To admit one has an emotion.
Yeah.
Then to go on the quest. So you seem to be a person who's willing to follow the quest. And that's a lifetime quest. To learn how to go into the unconscious, not be devoured by it, but to have a relationship to it. Sometimes it acts like I don't believe in the incredibleness of the conscious mind and the ego.
Mm-hmm.
They're dynamic twins. The conscious mind needs the unconscious. The unconscious needs the conscious. They work together
in a
dynamic duo. So to me, that's like an opportunity for the rest of your life to pursue that learning.
So basically, it's always the same. It's about the ego making friends with the soul or the love. And, you know, it's just like being united.
It's a dual relationship,
We're going to talk about that in a second. We got to go to a break. Where's that music? Call if you have any questions. You can call and ask Howard. He's more than welcome to answer them. You were saying that basically our life is about, you know, the conscious mind making friends with the unconscious.
The unconscious wanting the conscious mind to give it the instructions so the conscious mind can be more of a participant.
How do you do that?
Well, there's certain patterns, pattern recognition systems that one can learn that are how the unconscious operates. And once you learn the pattern recognition systems, your conscious mind has a chance to work it also as an ally to the unconscious. They're not enemies. They have different languages. One's in images and symbols and billions of years of history. The other is really 2,000 years old, the development of the ego is not only 2,000 years old. Sometimes the ego thinks it owns everything. But in relationship, if the ego admits who it is, and that the unconscious has all these gifts and patterns and is willing to teach them and learn them.
But how do you decode that? How do you know?
Let's take. I sent you a dream, which we may or may not get into, but here's a kind of a dream that had a lot of violence and negativity in it. The dream was of a dog named Atlas that was in a bed, and the dreamer was instructed out of nowhere to kill the dog, and went through all kinds of violent attempts to kill the dog, couldn't kill the dog. And something happens at the end of the dream where actually the dog rises up and faces him nose to nose, and that is an answer to the dream. But the part I want to mention is violence in a dream is usually about transformation and something needing to die, some part of the ego that's needing to die, not what most people think. So most people are afraid of the negativity in a dream because they don't understand the symbols and images that for something to be reborn, something has to die. There's not room. So most people, where they see murder in a dream, they freak out, they have anxiety, they feel afraid, you know, all kinds of things happen. So to learn the language of the unconscious and for the ego to relax and understand symbols and images and how the unconscious talks, rather than the ego's only literal way it knows is murder is murder, is once you have that friendship and you're willing to listen to what the unconscious has to offer, it'll show you more so the stages of transformation you're in, and that you can then ask yourself, what is it in me that needs to die in the moment? What part of my ego, not the whole ego, but the inflated ego or the deflated ego? The ego is this gem of gems. But there's a part of us that can be inflated or deflated or wounded. And usually for a change to happen, we've got to make room for it. So the dream will oftentimes show some murderous act, as it does in this particular dream, about what needs to die. And if the dreamer asks what needs to die, not me, it's not a suicidal dream, but some part of my ego, and is willing to admit their shadow, usually they'll get an answer right away.
Wow, so that's so intense.
So there's a lot of things like
that,
that the conscious mind can learn some patterns and have a better relationship. And the more you understand the unconscious, the more it shares with you its gifts.
What else besides dreaming is the unconscious?
Intuition, the greatest thing to me, intuition.
Intuition comes from
the center of the conscious, the unconscious mind is intuition. We talked about the six steps the last time.
Yeah, but I didn't know that intuition belonged
Intuition is the gift of the unconscious and the conscious giving you in the moment the integrity of the soul.
You know, it's really funny that you say this, Howard, because every time I meet somebody new that I don't know, right away, it's like, I swear, it's like my mind is typewriting everything. Gives me all the data of that person, right?
Yeah, and it's accurate.
And it's accurate. Now, if I spend more time with that person, my emotions get in the middle, my ego gets, and I can't see them clearly how I did when I just met them.
Yep.
And that's perception, pure perception of what you get.
Yeah, in the moment. Most people can't handle what they know. Now, intuition, it's a matter of timing with intuition. Intuition is usually ahead of time and space. And I'm very intuitive, as it's turned out. And most people used to say, well, that's not true, Howard. And I used to believe them. I've accepted intuition is almost always accurate. Humbly, not always, but almost always. I'll trust it until I find out it's not. That's my default. And I'll work the timing of how and what I say to whom when, rather than discount it as I used to. So intuition is one of the main tools of the unconscious.
That's a big tool. Now you have intuition. Dreams, anything else that we should know?
Body symptoms, you know, unfortunately, if you don't work it out psychologically, it ends in the body.
Yeah, no, but before that, what are the tools
Emotions, really understanding.
But emotions come from the mind.
There's three minds. There's a reptilian mind, the limbic system, the emotional mind, and the thinking mind. And so do dreams come from the emotional mind. If you really learn how to deal with integrity of emotions rather than...
What does that mean?
Well, as from the other shows, we've talked about having expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have expectations, and the world doesn't match their expectation. They have a feeling, not an emotion. And so most people then are holding these negative feelings. If you don't have expectations... and you pop your expectations as we went through, notice the negative feeling, ask your unconscious what the expectation is, put it in a balloon, pop it, listen to your intuition. Your intuition and your emotions are at one at that point, and you're in integrity. and take action on that, you'll be living the integrity of your soul and your ego, because the ego and the soul are twins. So they go together. It's only when we get fragmented and our ego says, well, this is how it ought to be, usually do we suffer and not able to live in the integrity of our wholeness.
Ah, oh, so beautiful how you talk. I like it so much. How many more minutes do we have? Because I have a lot of questions. Three more minutes only. I have a really intense, long question here. I don't know if we can.
I've been told that I have to shorten my answers. So
no,
I
don't
give
want
me
to.
A practice.
Who told you that? No, he's fired. She's fired. Who is this?
Okay, let's practice.
Okay, but I don't want you to shorten it because I like when you expand and explain it.
We'll do both end.
Listen, it helps the mind because the topics that we talk about are very intense and very deep, and the mind needs a long explanation sometimes to understand where it comes from, where it's going.
I can appreciate
that. Please, no, listen. Yeah. The best thing of you is that you expand and you talk a lot. Howard, please.
Okay, you got it.
So let's see if we can lower it down just as an exception for 3 minutes. The Alchemist Central's idea is the opus. The work is about self-orientation, not ego-orientation. The alchemical opus begins with nature, but requires our conscious human art or effort to complete the task. The urge is built in human nature within the unconscious psyche. However, we need our ego consciousness, not inflated or deflated, to fully realize this urge to create consciousness. What is the opus, and what task do we have to complete?
So the opus is just the work we need to do to become conscious. The task is to admit the shadow and to transform it. Admit the shadow, transform it. And or, as we've been talking about the opus without selling it that, follow your intuition almost always. Time what you say in the way you say it, and you're doing the opus work. If you deny your intuition, you're going to be caught in too much ego or not enough ego, and you're not going to do the work. So the opus is the work. The end goal of alchemy and most spiritual traditions is the philosopher's stone, the miracle of healing, many, many, many different ways. The pearl with these are all images of wholeness. The mandala. So the work is to complete nature's job of helping us be whole by doing our part of the journey.
Howard, that was a really nice response and very short, too. Well, I really, really am thrilled that you came again to my show.
My pleasure.
And you share all this information, so much knowledge. For me, this is beautiful. I love all these topics.
Thank you.
Because it has to do with, I think that we as human are all, through different ways, are looking for happiness and peace. It's the only thing that we truly care about. And we think we'll find it out there. We think it's in sex and drugs and in relationships and, you know, and it's not. It really is a personal journey. Mm-hmm. And all these things are like the core, the base of like how we sustain all this. How do we get there? Mm-hmm. And having you in my show is like you refresh constantly, you know, all the things that we're sometimes not aware of.
My honor.
So I really appreciate you being here. And I hope we can be again because I have a lot of questions left. So. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.